Verdon, first and foremost, just share some of the views for the public out there. Just kind of what I guess differentiates you from Mr. Perry or your opponent.
Well, you know, I'd say number one, I've done the job for the last two terms. We have been successful and advanced the agency in many ways, from improving and upgrading the building to different things with the deputy equipment, vehicles, modern technology, drones, training. We've now, for the first time, got five patrol officers signed to each shift. We've got, instead of one, a school resource officer, we've been able to get that to four. You know, we have three investigators at work, ICAT, which is the Internet Crimes Against Children. We've got them working with, you know, the different agencies from Homeland Security to the FBI on working those cases, because there's just so much of that. You know, we've added a website that is transparent and open to the public. You know, if the public goes to the Osage County Sheriff website, there's lots of information. It has everything from the inmates that are in to 10-year overlook of what the budget has been over the last 10 years, so that the people can clearly see, you know, how much money we get. We've got crime stats for the last 10 years for comparison. We've got calls, so they can see how many calls for service and how much we've increased. You know, it even breaks it down in there to where you can look at each particular crime and see how many of those were reported. You know, those things are important. One of our newest addition is Offender Watch, which is a safety feature that everybody needs to be aware of and they need to go to, because on registered offenders, it helps track. My understanding, there's a map so that you don't have to wonder if there's a registered either violent or sexual offender in your area. You know, that you could simply pull it up and it would show you there. So if you weren't aware of somebody living around you that was registered, you could quickly find out. Or, you know, if your children were going to stay the night somewhere, you could look at those locations just to make sure, you know, that you're taking every precaution to protect your family in this day and time. We've added and increased our dispatch, you know, with a full updated remodel, and it's a top-notch facility. But in addition to that, one of the biggest accomplishments, I'd say, is the pre-arrival instructions. You know, in Osage County, depending on where you live, whether it's fire, ambulance, or law enforcement, you can have a fairly long response time, just depending on how far out you live. And for the first time ever, you know, our dispatchers are trained where they can help a caller walk through processes that could save lives, you know, from CPR to choking instructions to tourniquet to whatever the situation could be, which is a huge help. You can imagine, as a citizen, if you were out there and needing help and was trying to do something and help was a long ways away, instead of saying, we've got help on the way and leaving you hanging, Our dispatch can stay on the line with you and try to help guide you through, or at least get you information that could help that person. You know, GeoSafe is another program that I started that is a huge safety thing for deputies and law enforcement in general, and we've got a lot of groups of different agencies that participate in it as well. So, you know, through that resource, everybody can see what calls are going on, where the individuals are. So if they're waiting on backup, they can see how far out their backup is, or if you're responding, you can see, you know, on a map of how far you are from those people. You're getting update information. Where that's important is, you know, Osage County is so large, we have different repeaters in different areas. So if you're on the west side of the county, for example, you can't hear the traffic going on at the south end of the county. So, you know, you can hear dispatch, but you can't hear that traffic. But through GeoSafe and their computers in their car, they actually see what's going on, and the dispatch updates that if something's in progress. You know, it's a huge benefit. In addition to the benefit of that, they have it on their phones as well. So if we have a deputy get in a rural area and get in a foot pursuit or some type of an incident where they leave their car, it shows them with their phone movements. So, you know, when help arrives, instead of trying to figure out where in the woods or what area they're at, with GeoSafe, that allows that backup to locate them and get to where they're needed to be. And if you're on one of the other emergency services and you're added to that call, then it allows those agencies access to that call information. So they're seeing, you know, what's going on, and they kind of have an idea of what's happening before they arrive on the scene. It's a huge tool that's really great. You know, as far as the jail, another huge help was we were able to get a body scanner to be able to try to pick up contraband that is hidden, you know, within inside of a person smuggled in. You know, where that's so important now is we've got such a fentanyl problem. You know, the worry isn't just that somebody would have access to drugs or be high in the jail, but with those type of things, we can have deaths. You know, if you check the records, there's many fentanyl deaths, and there's been many inside of you know, prisons and jails throughout Oklahoma and the country, and you know, getting that and utilizing it is a huge safety factor for the prisoners and the staff. But in addition to that, it's another safety measure to help the citizens, you know, not end up in some type of lawsuit where you know the county's out lots of money in those situations. You know, it just goes on and on with the things that we've improved. You know, one of the things that I wanted to see when I first ran in 16 and took office in 17 was a deputy retirement. You know, we worked on that, and we've now got a deputy retirement. It's not as good as we would like it to be, but it is better than what they had. It only started from the date that it went into effect. So, you know, the older deputies that weren't involved didn't get it, but the new ones. And where that's important is trying to retain, you know, employees, because less and less people want to be in law enforcement these days. There's a law enforcement shortage all over the United States, and every agency faces this, and we lose quality people to either state, federal, or municipality jobs that pay more money and have better benefits. So we need every possibility to try to maintain good, experienced people patrolling our county and responding to calls. So, you know, it goes from every angle, and you know, financially, you can go on our website where we were talking about the budgets, and you can see what those were. But, you know, we have actually went backwards in the amount of money. If you look at the 13-14 budget compared to today, and then you calculate inflation, you know, we're nearly operating on half the money that we had 10 years ago to operate on. But, of course, everybody that's living today knows what inflation has done. In addition to that, you know, what tax collection has done. So, you know, we've done more with less, and we've been able to give some employee raises to the best of our ability. But when we live off of the 1 cent sales tax, you know, we're subject to the economy, and we've been fortunate to hold our ground and actually made some progress since 2020. And, you know, it's always a worry that we're going to have some type of economy be set back and be back in a shortfall. So we try to be good stewards of those monies, and we only buy what's necessary. And we've obtained a lot of things through grants and different things that, you know, allowed us to do that. So we're always pursuing anything that's going to give us an advantage. You know, we introduced on a test program the flock cameras, and you know, they've been successful in a lot of different ways. You know, they don't only notify you if it's a wanted person or a amber alert, you know, silver alerts, but if we're having crimes in certain areas, we can look back through that, and it's a great investigative tool. We got introduced through that on one of our homicide cases, through the ones in Tulsa, and they're such of a great investigative tool. But you know, there's really no privacy issues as far as citizens. It's a lot less than what our cell phones are, you know, or that's something that, you know, we weigh out and we watch. But again, after we get the first year down, we'll evaluate, you know, what good we got from them versus the cost, and, you know, decide if that's something we want to try to, if the budget allow, continue or increase. But as big as the county is, we can't have deputies in every location all the time, but where those flock cameras are, we have a record so we can go back. You know, one example was they had some escapees from Dick Connors prison, and those flock cameras gave us the information quickly on the area they departed and what direction they were going. And through that flock system, you know, they ended up helping catch those and get them back in custody in another county. But without those cameras, you know, we wouldn't have had any information on them. So, you know, they're being used nationwide and also in private areas. You know, homeowners associations have put them in, and we get access to those. So, you know, again, all that stuff, it's just trying to use common sense and good decisions to keep us as far advanced as we can and to try to keep up so we can take care of the people's needs. You know, we just every day try to serve the public, or my goal was to serve the public and answer the public. You know, one example, I've given my cell phone out for the last 8 years. I mailed it to everybody. And if you call my office at midnight on Christmas, and if I'm not set at my desk, it rings to my cell phone, and I answer my phone. I mean, if somebody has a problem, I try my very best to help them in any way possible, because that's what we're supposed to do, protect and serve. You know, that's a goal, is to keep quality people. You know, another big thing I've added was body cameras to the deputies. When I took over, there was no cameras in cars or on deputies at all. The cameras from the cars, the dash cams, had been pulled out of all the vehicles, and we're in a shop, and there was no cameras. You know, it's important for us to, number one, be able to use the evidence in situations of that camera footage for prosecution, but it's also a protection for our citizens to make sure that they're treated properly and that everything is done correctly. Another thing we've added is GPSs to the cars. You know, that has been a low cost investment with a big return, because it gives us driving reports, it alerts, we set perimeters on speeds, and if a deputy goes over a certain speed, it immediately sends me and my upper staff a text message telling us that this unit has went over, and then that allows us to go on and make sure that it's justified, you know, that they're driving the speeds they are. But it does more than that. It notifies us if there's problems with the vehicle, oil changes. It basically gives us driver reports as far as hard braking, turns, you know, different things, and it rates the driver, so it lets us identify, you know, hopefully if we have any issues and need driver improvement, because cars are so expensive and we don't want our deputies hurt, or we don't want the public hurt in responses. So, you know, that is a way that we can manage it to the best ability possible. It just goes on and on. I mean, I know you've got limited time, and it would take forever to go over all the improvements and all the things that we've done. You know, my record and my service is a proven record, and I stand by the truth. I'm transparent, and you know, we arrest the people that need arrested and prosecute them, and we also, if somebody is being done with some injustice, we take that. You know, we've unfortunately, just like every agency, have had situations where we've had employees that have done wrong, and we've dealt with that and charged them. And if it's a mistake, we stand behind them and we correct it. If it's, you know, a choice, we handle them like we would anyone else, and we don't ever try to cover it up. When we have a situation, we, you know, we're open with it. We don't feel like anything needs swept under the rug. It's up. You know, there's our social media page. You can go to our social media. We have, you know, made it a very user-friendly, and we try to put good information out on a regular basis for anything from safety tips to road closures to, you know, information. We try to be there and do a great job for the citizens, and you know, again, I'm finishing this second term, and my goal and hopes is that I get a third term and I get to continue doing the job that I've done for nearly 37 years and still love and participate. I respond to every major incident in the county. I'm involved in every major incident and take care of days to day. I'm proven and experienced. You know, the many years I've been with law enforcement, from being SWAT team to running drug violent crime task force, to, you know, special agent with the state. You know, I've dealt with many, many situations and dealt with myself. So, you know, when a situation is going, your experience and knowledge from doing that betters your odds for a better outcome. And nobody knows the future or can control it or can control every situation. But the more experience and the more knowledge that you have and the more times you've done it and the more things you've seen, that experience allows you the opportunity to make a decision. And sometimes they're tough decisions you have to make. And it's on you when you do it. You know, I'm not the sheriff that sends somebody else out to make those hard decisions. I make those decisions, and then I have to deal with, you know, anything that goes wrong. And I don't think anybody that has never been in that position would realize when you're in a barricaded type situation with someone and you've done everything and you've got to make a hard decision on we've got to end this. How are we going to do it? And make that decision and see it through. And, you know, when it's something like that, I'm involved and I make those decisions. But, you know, I've got people that we've sent to specialized trainings. You know, we do de-escalation more. I mean, law enforcement has changed so much over the last years. You know, we deal with so many more mental calls than we ever have in the past. It is unbelievable the increase in mental-related issues that we respond to. You know, at times it almost seems like we deal more now with mental-related calls than we do criminal calls. You know, it's something that you know, with that, you've got to change, adapt, and work with. You know, we're seeing larger homeless populations. We're seeing those populations, you know, go into areas that years ago never happened. You know, those people stayed in bigger metropolitan areas closer to town. But, you know, as things change, you see different things and you've got to adapt. So, you know, we're always looking for ways that we can improve, things that we can do, any opportunity to better the agency and better the service. And I'm committed to that and I will pursue it. And, you know, when on June 18th, I hope the people see what I've done through the last 30 some years in law enforcement, check my record, check my reputation, check my cases. And if they want somebody that's going to truly represent them, stand up for what's right, no matter who it is against, I'm that guy.
Well, and you talk about your several years in law enforcement, last two terms in office, but just what are some things you hope to continue to build upon if you were to be reelected in your next term?
Absolutely. I mean, we want to continue moving. You know, we're in the process of search and rescue team and trying to work with the fire departments throughout the county to be more ready for disasters. You know, we had started that before, you know, the last tornado that hit Barnstall. You know, we had started having meetings in Hominy with many of the fire departments, and we had put on a training where they came to our training center, and you know, we've got plans on enhancing that, but we've also are in the process of working out a safety plan for the county. And what I mean by that would be, if we had some type of event where communications went down and, power outages, something like that, that in the situation, we would already be preset to respond assets to the volunteer fire departments, because as big as the county is, they're already established. Most people that live in an area know where their rural fire department is. So we're in the process of getting that set up, and then we'll be educating the citizens so that if you needed help and phones were out, power was out, you would know where to go close to your area. And with that, we're trying to work with the fire departments to combine an effort to where, you know, there would be somebody there that could get you help if you couldn't call. We've already put on Citizens Academy, but, you know, in reality, in this world, you know, we need our citizens prepared to be actually their first responder. I mean, it doesn't matter if you live in Tulsa or Bartlesville or where you live, there is a time lapse between when something happens and when you get help to you. So that time between when you ask for help and it arrives, the further out you live, the more rural areas you're at, the longer that time takes. So, you know, we started the Citizens Academy, and our goal is to have those more frequently to prepare our citizens for emergencies. And, you know, in combination with our dispatch, they can get pre-arrival instructions, but also if those communications are out, that those people are prepared, you know, and they have the knowledge. Like in our last one, you know, we did some first aid, we did some legal, as far as, you know, we want our citizens to know what their rights are and what they can do. We even did a range day with range masters to work with people on safety and functionability and knowing their guns to be safe and to be accountable, but to also be able to be their first responder to help get there. We did some fire safety. We did many different, you know, things through that. And again, I would like to see this grow, into a more common occurring option for people that want to learn and want to be prepared. And again, in a major emergency event, whether it be tornado, floods, fires, to who knows what we could face in this day and time, to be more prepared and familiar, because you never know when we're going to need participation or help from citizens. And if we can get them involved and get them some training, you know, that's a huge asset. But it also is a safety factor, because them knowing, you know, can keep them out of a situation to where we don't turn one situation into multiple situations. Does that make sense?
It does, yes, absolutely.
So, you know, again, it's just going to be continuing to take advantage of any possibility to improve the agency and continue moving forward and serving the people of Osage County to the best of our ability, and being good stewards of that tax revenue, and, you know, not doing any waste, and figuring out ways to stretch every dollar and the best it is. Just one example, you know, I'm looking at inmate medical right now. When you called me at my desk, I've got one proposal that came in. It's $353,966.68 a year for one health contract to oversee the jail and inmates in it. And you know, that went up last year. I think this same company was around $263,000, but like everything, the cost of everything goes up. And in that only allows for so much of outside needs. So if we have, you know, an inmate that has a heart attack or is having some kind of a health issue that needs ambulance and a hospital, those prices after a certain level, you know, come back to us, because nobody can predict, you know, when we're running an average of, you know, 130 to 150 inmates, what could happen with their health while they're here, you know. So those costs just keep going up. You know, we had went last year and researched, and we changed to trying to hire two full-time nurses to actually work as employees, and then pay a practitioner to come in and see, which is similar to what Washington County does. You know, I talk to the sheriff over there, and I talk to sheriffs all the time, and try to look at ways to save money, and we went that way. So now we're rolling in. That's what we've been working with this year, but we're rolling up, preparing for our next year's budget that will be due, you know, 1st of July. So we're trying to, you know, is what we're doing the best, or you know, can we do better? Weighing those out, you know. The hard part is keeping staff. I mean, if you talk to any hospitals or places, you know, nursing is a problem, and keeping staff is a problem. You know, so when you're looking at these type of contracts, you got to look at, you know, are we going to be able to retain employees to fill these positions, or if we go, and it might cost us $70,000 more, but then it's turnkey or whatever company it might be we're looking at on the medical service, you know, instead of us trying to keep those employees. Those are all conversations. But, you know, when we sit down and work on the budgets, we take all of the key people in my administration and we sit down at the table. We look at the past, and then we look at predictions for the future, and we all put that input together to try to come up with the best budget possible that's within our means. And that experience, I mean, it's a whole different deal. It's, you know, when we get our budget, normally it's on paper, but it's not in the account. You know, because we depend on that 1 cent sales tax. So when we make our budget, basically we'll have whatever we have in our account from tax collection, and whatever that amount is what we have. Nobody adds to that. It is what it is. And then the state has a budget maker. So once we prepare our proposed budget, it goes to the budget maker. The budget maker goes through their calculations on what they believe tax collections will be, and they have a certain formula, and you've got to be within that to get that budget approved. You know, I seen one year that it was so bad that I did not get my budget approved until late January. So I operated from July to January without an approved budget because the funds weren't there. And that particular year, we dodged the bullet because of the COVID money that came down. the Sheriff's Department got their portion of that, which allowed us to have the funds to finally get that budget approved. But we operated from July to nearly the end of January, you know, without an approved budget. But that's just the reality, you know, of the world when you live off of 1 cent sales tax. So having that experience and knowing that, and, you know, we live every day like your average citizen does. And that is, we're very conservative. We don't go buy something unless it's absolutely necessary, and hold that so that we, in hopes, can roll over enough money to give us a start for the next year's budget, you know, because with the other elected officials, their money is basically there, is my understanding. They get 50% of their last year's budget on July 1st, and then when their budget is approved, they get the other 50%. Well, when we're on a 1 cent sales tax, if there's not a reserve in there, then we have what we have, and there's, you know, there's no addition. In my first 3 years, I was fortunate enough that from the building of the building, they had a reserve because they could only spend it for certain reasons for the first 10 years, and then it got released, and it was so, the sales tax was better, believe it or not, in the 90s and the early 2000s than it is now. But, you know, at that time, we had, a Walmart here in Pawhuska, you know, so with that downturn. But by the time I came along, there was $3 million left. And for my first 3 years, every July, they would cash a $1 million savings CD that they had from that time frame. And they would put that in our account to get us started. And then we would run off the sales collection through the rest of the year. And that money ran out on the third year. Every year they used $1 million to fill that gap. The fourth year, which is the one I was telling you where I didn't get my budget approved till January, if it hadn't been for that COVID money, we'd have been there. Fortunately, we had a good economy, and with tourism and different things, the tax collection came up, and the last couple of years we have not had those falls that I experienced the first 4 years. We're not going way over, but we've been better, and not being able to increase that much, but we have been able to go without those worries. But again, when you've lived through those hard times, you're always watching the economy, you know, in fear that there could be a recession and slow down, and you can end up being back in that. And if you do, you know, I mean, we've trimmed the fat off of this, and I don't know what we would do if we went back to that time, if there was no other funding we could get to take the place of the shortage. You know, it would be a dramatic impact on us. So, again, you know, all those reasons is, my proven leadership and experience. And, again, I'm a working sheriff, and I'm involved in everything. I want to serve the public. I'll continue.
Well, and then just kind of one last question for me. I know that there's been all kinds of accusations floating around. I could get into the weeds with that all day for this election cycle, but not going to. I just want to kind of ask one question, though, on that topic, I guess. And that is one thing I've heard that's been out there publicly is that I believe it was July of either 17 or 18. I might be missing the year on that. But during Cavalcade, Mr. Perrier, he was doing security that year, and there's been rumors that you invited him into your office and asked if he wanted to be sheriff. And I'll just ask you, is there any rumor to that at all?
There's no rumor. There's no rumor to that. You know, what happened was really simple. My wife, who's a nurse practitioner, had got offered a job. I believe it was in Montana, and it was a pretty good offer that, you know, we actually considered. And being a good leader, I looked around and was thinking, gosh, if we take this, you know, I would never run out on the citizens. I have not. So it wouldn't have been a quick thing, but I wanted to look for somebody if that was. And that's all it was talking about if we decided to. You know, Bart was one that I reached out to see if he might be interested in coming to work for me in an upper position and being here for a while, because it wouldn't have been just an immediate thing, because we have too many things. And if something happened, I want to make sure that the county is put in good hands. And, you know, Bart had, I've worked cases with Bart for years. I've known him for years. And Bart was one that came to my mind, and I had that discussion with him. But we decided, and it was never this is going to happen. This was just a discussion that I was considering, what would I do if we decided she wanted to take that position. And that's simply what it was. I mean, it wasn't anything more than that. And then me and my wife, considering our family, friends, ties we had here, we made the decision we didn't want to leave the area, and nothing ever happened. And I want everybody to know, I think a lot of Bart Perrier. I have worked with his mother. I've worked with him. His son has worked for me. They're good people. When I worked for Bartlesville Police Department, his dad was on the Bartlesville Fire Department. I've known the Perrier family, and I have never said a bad word about them and never will say a bad word about them. I don't want to give him my job right now because I still enjoy it. But I have never, ever, and I mean, I challenge anybody to say that I've ever said, you know, we had the discussion over there, you know, at the debate, and we didn't have time, you know. So, I mean, it wasn't like we could discuss. It's not like I've ever avoided the question. But again, I would never say anything bad. I would challenge anybody out there to look at my social media, which I don't even like and I'm not on, and find anything that I put out negative, not on anyone. I don't need to, and I don't need to, and if you notice, I don't go out and try to defend allegations. I know who I am. I know what I do. I know what's right, and I don't even try to defend. I mean, there's no reason to when you're in the right. Nor will I participate in any of the nonsense that I've seen going on. And I certainly hope that the citizens of Osage County sees through and knows. And, you know, if they don't, all they have to do is call me, come by my office. You know, the truth. And I will stick to, when something's wrong, any possible way to get justice. It's just who I am. Right's right, wrong's wrong. I'm always going to stand up for right. and truth, and I'm not going to have open arguments on criminal matters. I mean, you don't do that. It's improper, and it's ridiculous for anybody to get involved with that. You know, there's like you said, all kinds of accusations and social media stuff. I don't even look at it, but people send me screenshots of ridiculous stuff that I can't believe. I will deal with any matter just like I do with every other case in its proper manner, whether that's going through complaints through the state where they're supposed to be filed, whether that's filing it criminally with the courts like you're supposed to, if it takes, you know, requesting something through the Attorney General's office. I will pursue any avenue that I need to when something has been committed and there's probable cause to believe that. I won't change, and I won't argue with people, or I won't have a public. I mean, it's improper to put any of that out like that.
Right.
And I won't participate in nonsense.